Okay, excuse me.
And in addition to that, I'm going to launch our YouTube stream as well.
Okay, let me see. I'm gonna try to text the commissioners too, because I seem to be having some issues with it. Okay. Just give me a moment.
Because Joshua's on.
Okay.
For Evelyn and Christy both, I sent it to both their personal and their Vote Pulaski emails.
Okay, just give me a minute to figure out what happened. Why is this not in my inbox? Betty, could you resend me the link so I could forward it on to him?
Okay. I'm going to disappear for a second, guys.
Oh, Betty, I can send that if you want me to.
Well, yeah, because like Evelyn's asked me to text it to her.
Okay.
Okay.
I know Betty's working on it too, so. Betty, do you have it or do you want me to do anything?
I got it.
Okay.
All I got to do is hit Control V and paste it.
Okay. And we are live on our YouTube channel, and I'm looking at it now, so it's looking good.
Okay, Brian, I just sent it again.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for the confirmation of your receipt of your email.
Like, what happened to that? Like, I just had that email. Where did it go?
Maybe you filed it real quickly.
No. Ah, here we go. Okay. I figured out what I'm doing right now. It's going to the Betty folder.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Evelyn is in the waiting room. So let me get her in.
All right.
Okay, what have we got here?
Okay. And Christy is now coming in.
Why am I just looking at myself? Here we go.
Evelyn, turn on your video. Hi, Christy.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Great.
I see Chairman Gomez on the stream, but I don't see video enabled and I don't see audio enabled currently. So I'm not sure if there's a technical issue or.
No, honey, you can't come in here. I'm on a phone call, sweetheart.
No, not that.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, I just can't see you.
Okay, well, listen, this left, link is thing.
Lower left hand, do you have-
to hear me. We can or you hear might you. Not be able to see me. I am so done with trying to get this to work, y'all, and I don't want to, we are past, it's 5:02, so I don't want to start late. We've already started late, so. Hold on one moment. I've got to try to get Brian's email open again.
If you will look in the bottom left-hand corner, you'll see a little video camera.
Correct.
And it should be X'd out.
I'm going to deal with that in a minute. Just give me a moment.
Okay.
I'm trying to get this going so it doesn't. Where is the agenda? May 14th, that's the agenda for tonight, Brian. Hold on. I'm having some technical problems here.
Should be launched. It should have launched by now. Let me go ahead and I'm going to dial up our IT guy and I'll have him talk with you.
Okay, just give me a moment here. I've got to be on a phone. I don't have a computer access right now. I'm in driving mode. Hold on. I'm going to figure out how to change this, guys. How's that?
There you go.
There you go.
Okay, hello everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
I need one of those holders. Okay, I'm just gonna hold my phone. Okay. I see there is Price and McKinnon. There we go. Oh good, we have someone from GIS. Hallelujah. Okay. And the clerk's office. Great. I guess we're waiting on me. Are we all, is everyone present, ready to go?
The only person we're missing is Mayor Bob Johnson, so he may log in later.
Do we want to, before we get started, I'm happy to give a few minutes to get everyone logged in. It's 5:04. Let's go ahead and just wait one more minute until 5:05 and we will get going. Because I'm having all kinds of computer problems, I don't have a printed out agenda and I'm going to have to look at it on my phone as we go. So I apologize for that extra time because I think that might be an issue and I'm sorry about that.
If you would like, I did print one for myself. I can tell you what's on it as we go.
I gotta pull it up. I'm gonna screenshot this so I don't lose it. Okay. Yes, Betty, I may need that, but let's go ahead and get going. So I will call this meeting to order. It is 5:05. Do we have a volunteer who would like to lead us in the pledge if there's a flag to look at? Is anyone present in the Zoom call would like to lead the pledge? You may do so.
Shelby actually has a flag in his background.
There we go. I like it. He does. I see Shelby. Is that a flag or is that a coat?
It could be a coat.
That's a coat. It's actually a coat.
I have a flag pinned on, but you can't see it, so we can start.
I can walk outside. I've got a flag on my house where I am. If we want a flag, if I can work this right, I'll just go step out. I'll go outside. Here's a door of my house. Sorry about that, people. Okay, so.
There we go.
Perfect. It's a little twisted, but okay. Who would like to give our pledge today? I can do it since I'm here. I can do it. Okay. Pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the flag of this
United States of America. To the republic
to the
for
which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. So we will go ahead and go into our business. And I know we have, as we are getting into our business, I will say we have a lot of business that would be nice to cover. And we have definitely some things through this year that we are going to need to address. And I know in this meeting, we have a little bit of some specific things to address that we're going to deal with now. And just know, commissioners, we will need to meet later on. And we're going to try not to meet any extra than we have to due to COVID and different pandemic things going on right now in our country. So we have lots of items to discuss, but we're going to stick with the agenda, and then anything else that we need to deal with, we'll deal with after we take care of our agenda items. And I just wanted to recognize, I'm sure we have plenty to discuss and different matters that we may need to necessitate having a meeting at a future time. So with all that said, let me pull that agenda back up. And I'm so sorry, I'm over the phone, guys. Okay, so first, our approval of previous minutes. I see those have been, did we get those from Betty? I believe we got those in email from Betty. Any discussion about our previous minutes?
I move to approve the previous minutes.
Second.
Okay. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion passes. I closed it. Dang it. Hold on 1 second. I accidentally closed it. Let me get back there. Okay, the Zoom link only had the Zoom link. It didn't have the minutes in it.
No, I sent the minutes back in March. I didn't resend a second copy.
Okay, hold on 1 second. That's why I screenshotted it, because I kept closing on me. Like, my screenshot. Okay. First item of business, approval of Little Rock School District zone boundary lines.
Madam Chair, before we do that, I would like Mr. Johnson to kind of go over what we're going to be doing and looking at, maybe give a little brief description of that to make sure that we're clear on what we're, before we start.
That would be great. I'll go and cede the floor to Mr. Johnson.
If he could introduce himself and tell us where he's from.
Good evening. Very honored to be able to participate in your meeting and to answer any questions that you might have. My name is Shelby Johnson. I currently serve as the Geographic Information Officer for the state of Arkansas. And back last fall, in the fall timeframe, the Department of Education reached out to our office to inquire about supporting them in the development of new school board zones for the Little Rock School District. Our office plays a technical role in the redistricting process, and we also support county election commissions, the Secretary of State, and the county clerk offices across Arkansas by warehousing and publishing election precinct boundaries. We also publish GIS data of the state house, state senate, school board zones, and other election geography. So we have a fair amount of expertise in developing redistricting data and very well understand the census data that's used to support the redistricting process. We began that work, and over the course of the fall through October, November, and December timeframe, developed a series of iterative plans that were comporting with standard redistricting principles such as compactness, contiguousness of districts, to the degree possible, equal population among the various school board zones. And we arrived at a final plan and made that recommendation to the Little Rock School District Community Advisory Board in December. In turn, that Community Advisory Board made the same recommendation to the Commissioner of Education, Secretary Johnny Key. And Secretary Key, it's my understanding that in his statutory authority, adopted the plan that we then developed into a written legal description and series of exhibits. So although I'm unable to see the exhibits that are in your package and the legal description that's in your agenda packet, all of that material was prepared by my staff or myself, and I'm pleased to be able to answer any questions if you have any questions.
Okay, thank you.
Let me show those exhibits on the end.
Oh, Madam Chair, it dawned on me, I did not think to include this detail. And I think that you all are, I hope, as an election commission, you would be pleased. One of the things that we recognized in the development of this rezoning plan, as you are all aware or may be aware, previously the Little Rock School District was represented by 7 zones. And under the current new, if you adopt plan, it would be represented by 9. One of the things that we recognize from our previous work is the importance of ensuring that as voter assignment occurs in under these new zones, that the easier we could make that process and facilitate conforming to the current election precincts, the better your result would be. And that would help ensure that you get the right ballot to the right person. And so our design concept with the plan that we ultimately recommended and that Commissioner Key adopted was to use the current election precincts and to nest the new school board zones into your election precincts to the maximum degree possible. And so when you look at those exhibits, you will should notice that a lot of the outer boundary on those exhibits also aligns with your current election precincts. Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you. Okay. Commissioners, do you have any questions for Mr. Johnson or any discussion?
Got a few questions. So what is the impact of the changes in the zones based on the previous zones from the 7 to 9? Is there a impact in the population? Is there going to be a I do know that there was a discussion on some mapping errors and the previous redistricting from the 1980 ruling. Is that being addressed in this?
So I'll take a crack at that and do the best I can. I did not include this background, but I should have. There is no impact in population per se, and that is because the way the state law reads, we're required, or anyone doing redistricting is required to use the most recent decennial census. Unfortunately, here we are at the end of the decade, or at least when we were doing that work in the late fall of 2019, at the end of the decade. And as you know, the 2020 count is currently underway. That population data for 2020 won't be available to Arkansas until on up in 2021, and so we were only able to use the 2010 population data, and so that's the population data that was used to do the redistricting process. And so all of the demographics and the population numbers or the metrics were being used or analyzed against that 2010 data, because that's the only thing we could use. To address your concern or question about the school district boundaries, in the early stages of working on the school board zone development, we discovered an error in the state GIS file that resides on our state GIS platform. That error resides in our GIS.arkansas.gov platform, and it was a discrepancy in the parts of the school district boundary and how accurately it was reflected. Brief history, the U.S. Circuit Court, 8th Circuit, set the boundary in 1980, and in 1980, they fixed the Little Rock School District boundary to match the municipal boundary for the city of Little Rock at that time.
No.
Hey,
Mr. Johnson?
You should be in now. Okay, but I don't have a speaker or camera on my...
Is this the mayor that I hear?
Yes.
Okay, so you can just turn your phone on speaker if you need to. If I need to talk,
you need
if you would, like we can actually hear you now, if you would just place it on.
He's gone.
Okay, sorry about that.
not a problem. I think we've all learned to adapt in the Zoom world. So I'll try to be succinct. I know I don't want to take up much of your time. So. What we discovered essentially is an error in the maps that we maintain for the school district boundary. And as we approach this rezoning process, we wanted to address that. We coordinated with the city of Little Rock and obtained data that they had developed over time that allowed us to trace back to the 1980 municipal boundary. And so I'm going to walk you through an example of a discrepancy. If you can turn your agenda packet to Exhibit 4 in the documents that you received. Exhibit 4 is representative of a school board zone 4. And on school board zone 4, Exhibit 4, if you look to the western part of that exhibit, you'll see an area that is labeled with the, it's near the label of Precinct 137. And I'll attempt to describe this for you. That area that you see there now reflects what is the accurate representation of the line between the Pulaski County District and the Little Rock District. So all of the exhibits and the legal description that was prepared adjusts or corrects for the error that we had. And that area that juts out there to just guide you, if you're heading west on Chenal Parkway, that main area that continues on west there is where there's a Walgreens and there's the jumping trampoline place. I can't think of the name of the place, but that area is reflected right there. And that is an example of a place where we made a correction to, or will be making a correction to the school district lines in our state map.
I want to make sure it's our printout, our little map for, it says LRSD zone 4 on the top of it. And it'd be around Wellington Hills, Wellington Village. Is that the part you're jetting out you're talking about?
I think so. I can't remember the name of the subdivision, and the document that I have that we prepared just says zone 4, school board zone 4, exhibit 4. It has a lower, on the lower right hand, it has a date that says prepared March 2nd, 2020.
Brian, is that the map what I was provided. Is that the same thing? Brian?
That is correct.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah.
You were provided a map that was produced by Amanda.
Okay.
Yeah. And Madam Chair, there's more than one area that's going to be corrected through this effort.
Gotcha.
That's been corrected through this effort. That was just an example, and that was Precinct 137.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was following along. I track that, but I want to make sure that the maps I have, because it's not called Exhibit 4. It says Exhibit 4 in the documentation, but the map doesn't say Exhibit 4. I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right stuff. Okay. I'm tracking what's going on. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. That answered my question.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson, first off, thank you so much for preparing this very thorough and detailed document for the commission to review. Your team did an excellent job. Just to kind of take Commissioner Starr, congratulations again, Commissioner Starr's question a little further. Can you think of any other major departures? I mean, I obviously went from 7 to 9 zones, but any other major departures that the commission should take of note, or any of those watching us in Facebook land right now should take note of, or any potential impacts? I know that obviously you're using data from 10 years ago, but is there any other thing that you think the commission should be aware of other than what was included in the report? Or, I mean, the report was, you know, dated a couple months ago. So has anything come up since then that could be of a potential note for the commission?
No, thank you for the question. I can't think of anything. One of the things that an observation that we made and made this observation with both the Little Rock School District Administration and also the Pulaski County District Administration is just the change that we will see when the 2020 numbers come out. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a good example. This is an example that I use with both of them, not on the district boundary issue, but on the zones themselves. So if you can think about the River Market District area of Little Rock, in 2010, that area was still what I would call mostly nights and weekends in terms of population. And since that time, you've seen a fairly large number of downtown loft, downtown apartment development activity like mm-hmm. that. And so what I anticipate that you'll see is as the 2020 population data comes out, you're going to see some gain in population in that part of the district. And then obviously, should go without saying that the district will also see some population gain in the western part of the Little Rock School District.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just bringing that to your attention because as the school district contends with rezoning in 2021 or 2022, many of the zones that are established in the plan may not change much, but you might see some changes in that downtown area, and you might also see some change that may need to take place in the western part of the district.
Okay. So basically population density and growth that just hasn't been accounted for yet.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I'd like to piggyback off a Commissioner Price's question there. Even with the growth in West Little Rock, for example, and Northwest, would there be an increase in Little Rock School District if those lines have been moved back because of the 1980s lines that basically are not compatible with Little Rock City lines?
No, not really, because the amount of discrepancy in the error it's not significant population. There are a few places where there are some residential areas, but it's not large numbers of population.
Okay.
You know, it's relatively small numbers.
Okay.
Actually, I have a question that was sent to me. Now, we're in the world of technology, so if I may, will the tax assessor records be updated with the new boundaries, taking into account that there's a different tax for homeowners in each district? Is that correct?
It is my understanding that the county assessor office would work on that, and if there is a discrepancy in their records, that they would adjust to make this update. And my expectation is that that might not happen right away, because mm-hmm. they wouldn't make that adjustment until your commission takes its action on the zones.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay. I'm just kind of making sure that the timeline of what's going on, we have what's going to be in front of us today, and then we all know, are acutely aware of the census and the redistricting that will be going on across the state and the nation, that we're, I don't want to say these are temporary zones, but really they're zones until that census data comes out in the next year or so. Is that what we're looking at, basically?
That would be correct.
Version. I know that I'm missing a lot in that, but
well, no, you're very much on target. These zones in a normal circumstance, these zones would last for a decade, but because of the state and the Department of Education, the Education Commissioner, and the State Board of Education working toward that goal of returning local control. You can't have local control until you have a locally elected board. You can't have a locally elected board until you have zones so that those candidates can file and run for those seats in those zones. And so the process, while it is at the end of the decade, these electoral zones will theoretically only last for a couple of years. And then in 2021, as the new population data comes out, then the school district would undertake rezoning again if the population has shifted dramatically. And there's not a great way to predict that. We know there will be some growth in the western part of the district, but our design is, and we're hopeful that our plan that was presented to you now will be stable in other areas of the district, so that they may not have to change that much.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'd make a motion to approve the Little Rock School District zone boundary lines.
All right.
I would like to second that motion.
Okay. There's been a motion and it's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Congratulations, Little Rock School District, with everything and all your endeavors that's going on right now. And a special thanks to Mr. Johnson to take time to talk with us. And I anticipate we'll be talking to you quite a bit as redistricting continues on when we get these census numbers. So I think we will probably become best friends before this is all through.
I hope to develop a lot of best friends in the next year or two. So thank you very much. I'm going to thank you for the opportunity again to answer questions and provide you additional information. And I'm going to sign off and wish you a good luck and a very successful meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. So, Brian, you have our stamps. Obviously, you have my permission to anything that needs to be signed on this. So let's go through. What do we need to do? What's our documentation that we need? We've approved the zones. So what do we need to do now, Mr. Poe? Is there documentation that we need to sign?
It's optional, basically. I prepared a resolution that y'all can sign if you want to. But the motion itself serves the purpose. The purpose of the resolution is just to improve the record for you know, future people who are looking back on this.
I would like to have a good record. Commissioners, do you have
No, I agree. In fact, I would like to move to go ahead and accept the resolution and sign it if we need another motion to do that. But otherwise, I'm for you signing it in with my stamp, Brian.
I'm going to take that as Price making a motion that we adopt the resolution. Any discussion or is there a second?
I have discussion. Sorry, I'm playing devil's advocate for a second. But is this to file a resolution for a temporary change in zones for schools?
Ma'am?
Is this a typical action to file a resolution just for a temporary change in zones for school districts? Have we done this in the past?
In the past, it's typically been handled by simple motion, which is why I said you as far as the resolution goes, you can take it or leave it. But having consulted with the county attorney and just having gone back to research this process myself, it would be better if we had basically something that said what we did, and that's the kind of the purpose of the resolution.
Yeah, can we? I think I saw Mr. Fogelman on here. Could he speak to that?
Adam?
The better part of the why it's better.
Okay, we'll recognize Mr. Fogelman. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm a fan of preserving through documentation whatever the stated positions of any governmental body or any decision-making body is. So whether it's by resolution or simply by adopted motion, which you've already done, and preserving that in the minutes, either one will work to preserve the decision and that's been made. However, for the sake of simplicity in passing that decision back to the Little Rock School District and the State Board of Education for their records, it may be simpler to have a resolution that simply addresses that one matter instead of having meeting minutes that address a number of topics.
Okay, that sounds logical. Thank you.
Yep, and I just want to piggyback off that. I completely agree, Mr. Fogelman. I will say I've been involved with nonprofit organizations where something had been changed. Let's say, for example, the bylaws, and it was changed in the minutes, but to dig back, you know, historically, looking back 3 years of minutes, it is so much more handy to have that resolution where you could just say, oh, well, this is where it was changed versus trying to dig through those records. So I really do appreciate you you having that desire to have it firmly documented and easy for someone to find in the future.
I might as well give discussion as well, and I'm of the same mind of Mr. Fogelman. I don't know if it's just from being an attorney, and I'm pro documentation generally, but I think having a paper trail and having something easy to give to Commissioner Johnny Key and a hand, you know, something on paper that we can give to LRSD would be easier for their organizations to deal with, and would just make, I guess, kind of dealing with the commission easier for them and for the people as well to have that trail. So I believe we had Commissioner Price made a motion.
I did, yes.
I will second that motion.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Go ahead. You can use my stamp on there for my signature. I consent to my signature being added via stamp. So moving, let me get back to the agenda. Here we go.
I consent to my signature added as a stamp.
And I also consent to using my signature as a stamp, please.
Okay. The next item of business is Jacksonville. And is the mayor still with us? He was with us at least for a little while.
Yes, ma'am. Mayor Johnson.
I'm here.
Good to hear you. Okay.
I can speak, but y'all can't see me. They stole my camera today.
Well, that's terrible news, but you sound nice and clear, so at least we can hear you.
Well, good. And I can see y'all, so.
Okay. So we have a June 9th, 2020 Jacksonville special election on our business. Mr. Ho, would you like to lead us through that? And if we need to start with the mayor, we can do that. But we have Mayor Johnson with us. So thank you. Welcome. Welcome again, Mayor Johnson.
May I interrupt one second?
You may.
Could someone please also provide how they're planning on protecting the public and the poll workers, election officials during this time?
I think that'll be Brian's presentation. Is that correct, Brian?
Yeah, yes, sir. I can talk about that.
That was in the forefront of items I wanted to discuss. So if that's going to be covered, that's great.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Poe, you want to lead us through our plan for the June 9th election here?
Yes, ma'am. Basically, what we're looking at is having had extensive talks with the city as well as with the State Board of Election Commissioners, and following their guidance, what we recommend is consolidation of this particular special election down to one poll. This will allow us to concentrate our resources so that we can, number one, use as few election officials as possible and thereby protect as many of them as possible from risk. And number two, this allows us to where we can have extra resources for that one poll to ensure that we are providing a sufficient amount of PPE for our workers as well as for the voters who participate in this election. And also make sure that every square inch of of the area that the voters and the workers will be in will be sanitized. So to that end, we've gone about, and maybe Betty can speak a little bit to this more, but we've gone about securing masks, securing gloves. We have, I think, 1,500 gloves in our, something like 1,500 gloves in our possession. 1,800. Hand sanitizer, we are still trying to get some more hand sanitizer and more alcohol-based cleaning products, but we should have, we should be able to get some of that from the, some more of that from the county. In addition to that, we've purchased spray bottles and bleach to sanitize the surfaces that are not the equipment. So we'll be periodically sanitizing throughout early voting and election day. We are also making sure the city will be sending periodically through the area staff members to assist in sanitizing the voting areas.
Okay.
Mr. Poe, you won't be requiring the voters to wear a mask, will you?
No, ma'am, we won't. And how we're going to handle that is for those voters who do not, number one, if a voter shows up without a mask, they'll be offered a mask. However, if they choose not to wear a mask, then we will bring those voters to a separate voting room.
Okay. Because, as much as I would prefer they wear a mask, we definitely don't want to hinder their right to vote by requiring them to wear a mask.
No, and we will not require that, but that room will be may basically be the focus of a focus of the sanitizing effort. So that'll be basically the room where because kind of how it's set up, and the mayor might be able to describe it a little bit better. But you walk in the north entrance of the community center, and there's like a smaller room. It's probably about the size of a little bit smaller than Jeffrey Hawkins. And then you go through that room, and there's like a large ballroom. That ballroom will be divided into two parts. So the folks who are wearing masks will go into the smaller room, check in. They'll cast their votes in one half of the ballroom, and then they'll exit. The voters who choose not to wear a mask will check in the hallway, and then they'll go down to the other part of the ballroom, and they'll cast their ballot. And, regardless, after every voter votes, anyone comes through, the machines and any surfaces that they touch will be sanitized.
I'm sorry, Director Poe, will both rooms be ADA compliant?
Yes.
Okay.
The
capacity of this room is about 660 people to 700. So we're going to be able to have a good amount of distance between all the voting, where everybody will be voting and enter one, they're going to enter one door and go directly into where you get your ballot, unless they're not wearing a mask, and they'll go down the other door and go down the hall to the other end of the building. So we're trying to eliminate as much face-to-face contact as we can.
Excellent.
I actually have a few questions.
Go ahead.
Brian, so what about for early voting? We would, I'm assuming we'd use the same location?
The exact same location, exact same setup.
Okay, so I heard that in Craighead County, they were using disposable Q-tips to touch the screens. Has there been any thought of that, or how to then disinfect the screens after each use by the voter?
We have special wipes for the Ivotronics, and basically we'll use an alcohol-based cleaner for those. As far as the paper ballot areas, we're going to have tables that people can vote on with our regular voting booths, and we'll have a bleach-based cleaner for that.
Okay, so will those be those Ivotronic screens? Will those be wiped down after each use?
Yes.
Okay. Another question. Oh, go ahead.
Well, just one more thing. And then, as far as the styluses go, we're planning on using pencils with the erasers. And basically, okay. Each voter just gets to keep a pencil.
Okay, great. That's even better.
They can mark the Ivotronic without actually having to physically touch the screen. But either way, it'll be sanitized.
Excellent. That's even better. And that actually kind of goes into my next question. So as far as when they sign in and they're using a pen, I know just even without COVID-19, a pen is like a point of transmission for germs and bacteria. So what are any safety protocols you put in place for people using the same pen over and over?
Basically, everybody's going to get their own pen.
That's what I thought you'd say, and I love it. Thank you.
That works. Good.
I'm sorry, I've got another one. I know that in Wisconsin they had obviously some issues with their election, and there were actually five times more absentee ballots cast. So do we anticipate a larger number of absentee ballots being cast for this election, or has that been encouraged in the city of Jacksonville?
As far as it being encouraged, I would defer to Mayor Johnson on that. I know that he's been talking to some folks about it, and that he's been putting out some information, but I don't want to speak for them. As far as the actual volume of absentee ballots, I would defer to Mr. Kennedy on that.
We have not encouraged people to absentee ballot unless there's a reason. You're going to be out of town, you're quarantined, something of that nature. But we're not encouraging absentee balloting.
That sounds consistent with the law. So that's not, I think that sounds like a good course of action.
Yes.
One thing that I'll point out that's neither here nor there is that the governor has waived the excuses on absentee ballots for June elections.
Yep.
If you're interested, we're expecting between 1,500 and 1,800 voters total, whether they're absentee, early, or on election day.
Okay.
Last question, Brian, from me. As far as the staffing of the poll workers, I know many or most of our poll workers are a little bit more mature in age and are vulnerable population. So has that been taken into account with the staffing of the polling location, try to get maybe some of our younger poll workers to work that election?
But basically, in Jacksonville, we don't have any younger poll workers.
Okay.
We have two or three. We tried to contact them. They never got back to us.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're using largely the group that we have for early voting in Jacksonville. They'll be working throughout early voting and election day. So we did that to try to minimize the number of people that we use.
Mm-hmm.
They're all willing to work. They all wanted to work. And so what it was then, it was just the challenge was just trying to use as few people as we could get away with.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. And thank you for thinking of their health. I mean, our poll workers, they know their situation better than we do. So if they are willing and excited to do it, then We're glad to have them and their service.
And on that note, Brian, Mr. Poe, I had asked your, what's his title, assistant director, Mr. Camp, to provide me with a copy of his spreadsheet showing who he contacted as far as poll workers and that efforts, and I was never provided with that. Could you please provide me with a spreadsheet or something showing when contact was made, what efforts were brought out, which poll workers were contacted, and how you've been doing that? Are you able to do that for me?
Mr. Camp explained that process in the presentation that he did last year.
He did not provide me with the information I asked for. Are you able to provide that information?
I do not have that information. Mr. Camp handles that area.
Could your staff member provide that information to me? I apparently, if you don't have it right now with you, could you please get me that information this week?
I'll talk to Sean and see what I can get.
Could I say something?
Absolutely.
Okay. The city of Jacksonville is also working with getting, we have a company that makes liquid sanitizers. I've asked them, hand sanitizer, I've asked them to give me 6 gallons of it for that day to put in spray bottles. And I'm going to ask some of my city people just to volunteer to be there to spray somebody that wants their hands sanitized. So we're going to try to help with that, give you some volunteers to help this be a very safe election.
That's wonderful. Mayor, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, for being proactive and for offering those services. That's very, very much appreciated.
I just want to say throughout this entire process, the city has been incredibly helpful, and we do thank them for their efforts.
I'm ready to fill my council seat.
I'm sure. Okay, Mr. Poe, anything else we need to know before we move on with the different items under specifically for the Jacksonville special election? Anything else you'd like to present to get us going forward?
One thing I will note is that for this election, we will be using the laptops throughout to streamline the process, so we aren't going to have any paper poll books. On election day, we're going to be using iPower Profile rather than on election day having 20 different poll books. We're just going to have 2 laptops to speed the process up. I will also note that throughout early voting, it is my understanding the clerk's office will have a staff member up there embedded to correct any voter issues that arise, such as incorrect addresses, names, etc.
Will 2 laptops be sufficient?
It generally is. Whenever we, in larger elections, just as a general election, we have 2 laptops and we can put through 500 people a day.
Okay.
The Jacksonville Community Center. So,
the amount of people that would be voting in this election. Okay.
The other thing that we have talked about is having somebody outside so there's no more than 50 people inside the building at a time.
Could That's you elaborate good. On that, please?
Pardon me?
Could you elaborate on that? Are you,
well,
I don't want
you know, the governor.
I'm sorry.
I do not want to disenfranchise any voter, but the governor has suggested only 50 people be in a room at a time. So if there's 50 in A, B, and C, we should tell people there's that many people in there. I can't make them not go in there because you can't tell people they can't go vote. But they should be aware that that number has been reached.
Actually, Director Poe, have we reached out to the State Board of Election Commissioners on that very issue to make sure that we're upholding the law as well as, excuse me, as well as upholding the directives? How do we need to handle those situations?
in terms of the number of people in the building?
Yes, in the rooms at the same time.
I could reach out on that, but I don't foresee that being an issue in this particular election.
Can we just verify if we do need to maintain a number, and if we do, we need to kind of come up with a plan on how to address that, where, as well as anyone that's standing in a line, if they are outside, and make sure that we may have to put stickers down to keep them separated at a certain point, you know, within 6 feet.
Yes, ma'am, I could reach out to them.
All right, thank you.
Please do so and get back to the commission by the end, at most by the end of the week, but tomorrow would be a better day to get back to all the commissioners, let them know what's going on.
Thank you, Mayor Johnson.
Okay. Anything else from anybody here present? All right.
Nothing.
Okay.
So there are a number of temporary polling location change orders. Those are just to consolidate the normal polling locations to the Jacksonville Community Center. The clerk's office will send out notices to all affected voters. And our staff will be posting notices on each of the facilities that would normally serve as a poll, but will be consolidated to the community center.
Mm-hmm. Brian, do we have to move to accept these individually, or can we do it all at once?
It's up to you, but I don't see any problem with accepting them en masse, since they are all separate orders that will be documented and filed with the clerk's office.
I have no qualms with doing them in mass either. We're all going to be consolidated into one spot. I'm okay with that. I'm looking at the order location here that you sent to us. Commissioners, have you a chance to take a look at all the emergency polling location orders? Any further discussion from commissioners?
I move to approve the temporary polling location orders for the June 9, 2020 Jacksonville special election.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. And you can still use my stamp for these. I've consent to my stamp for the remainder of the meeting, anything else that we need to sign. So I would like to sign all of those. I agree with all they appear to be the correct dates on here, 20th of May, June 9th. Everything looks like it's correct.
Same.
Good job with getting that put together ahead of time. Thank you, Mr. Poe.
You're welcome.
And we have an amended polling location order in addition to the temporary polling location order. Is that correct? Is that what I see here?
Yes, ma'am, and that's just the overarching order for this election.
Gotcha. That says emergency polling location order across the top, and it has all the precincts listed with
yes.
The location.
Okay. We need a motion too.
That I need to point out about this is we're only going to be opening the Jacksonville Community Center for this election. We've talked to the clerk's office; they've agreed to establish their location as the Jacksonville Community Center as well. With our building currently being closed to the public and, you know, the election being in Jacksonville itself, we felt that was the most sensible thing to do from a public safety and health standpoint, as well as a fiscal standpoint.
That makes no sense for having a resident of Jacksonville going anywhere else. That's fine.
Director Poe.
Yes, ma'am.
Will the clerk's office be sending clerk staff as they would at the regular downtown location?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. They'll have clerk staff there to handle any issues that might pop up, such any issue like any voter registration issues that might occur there. Okay. So we'll have two laptops set up, and they'll actually have one set up there as well.
Okay.
Director Poe, do we need a separate motion to accept this emergency polling location order for the Jacksonville special election?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, then I move to accept the emergency polling location order for the Jacksonville special election to be held on June 9th, 2020.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Going down the rest of the agenda. get us through. What do we have next here, Mr. Poe? We've got the temporary, the amended polling location order. We have LNA testing. How did that go, Mr. Poe?
It went well.
Okay. Anything we need to know about? Anything that jumps out at abnormal? Any concerns?
No. The machines that were selected for this election are all in good shape. Are all in functioning in good order.
Okay. And they are the machines we have been using. They are not any new machines. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
This election was programmed, you know, back in April, so we just have to carry through with what we've got until it's complete.
Okay. All right. And he said no significant variances or issues or concerns with any machines. I don't see anything here on the information you've provided. Okay. All right, commissioners, any discussion before we entertain a motion to certify the LNA testing?
No, not for me. I move to certify the logic and accuracy testing results for the Jacksonville special election to be held on June 9, 2020.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, going down the next one. Going down the rest of our agenda. Election officials. Mr. Poe, let's go down the election officials and please let us know how they were contacted and what went on to decide upon these officials that are presented to the board, to the commission.
These are primarily our officials who work early voting in Jacksonville, who are our standard Jacksonville early voting crew. And in order to minimize the number of folks we use, we just carried them through to election day.
So these are from the most recent election in Jacksonville. This is our same folks. Any difference?
These have been the same folks for years and years and years. Like, for instance, Laura Umfleet has been working as the chief judge at Jacksonville since at least 2010.
Okay, good.
Okay. Well, I have to say, Brian, I know you said this is the same crew, but as far as diversity of their political parties, it seems very, very even to me. So, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I as well. Like to see that it looks like it's a pretty balanced group. And that just might be, Jacksonville just might be a balanced place. I don't know. Might just be a precincts that have some good balance, but no, that's absolutely. Thanks for noting that. I noted that as well when I looked at this. Okay. Any questions about the appointing election officials? Or any other further discussion?
I make a motion to approve the election officials for the June 9th, 2020 Jacksonville special election.
I second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, going down. Notice of election. Have you had a chance to take a look at the notice of election? Any discussion about that? Anything of note that we need to?
Just the main thing is to note the Jacksonville site will be open for the entirety of early voting, which it typically isn't. So it'll be open 8 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5 on Monday, June 8th for early voting. And that's what enables us to keep this particular site closed, is that we're covering all those hours of the clerk's office.
Gotcha. Okay. And what about our... I think I see it. We've got the voter view on there, Classy Clerk's website, our phone numbers. I think it's got all the usual things that we want to see on there, our email there at the bottom. Okay, any commissioners have any
The only thing that I would, oh, never mind. There's information on absentee ballots on there. Okay. No, I have no further discussion.
Okay.
I just want to make sure the website was on there, and it is, so great.
And it's with this pandemic, the position with the candidates, was there a draw? Did I miss that? Did I not? Do I just not remember that we did do a candidate draw?
We did it. We did it during whenever we were wrapping up the primary elections.
Yeah.
And we had quite a bit going on then.
Okay.
So that might have kind of been shuffled down the memory hole,
We had a lot going on there for a while. We had several back-to-back elections and all kinds of recounts and all kinds of things. Okay. I just couldn't remember when we did that. But okay, that was my only thing that I couldn't quite remember. But everything else, Jacksonville Community Center, one location. One,
right.
Good.
And everybody in Jacksonville knows where it is.
Right. And it's easy to find.
Sorry.
You know, that would be such a great vote center if the Quorum Court would allow that. That would be just something great for Jacksonville. Just putting that out there for a thought to hear. But besides that, notice of election. If there's no further discussion, I'm happy to entertain a motion.
Yeah, I move to accept the notice of election for the Jacksonville special election on June 9th, 2020.
Actually, I had discussion.
Oh,
okay, go ahead.
Was there any, Director Poe, is there any issue with this notice of election going out past the May 11th date of the new registration ending for this election?
No, by statute, the notice is only required to run more than 10 and 5 days.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good question. Okay, any other discussion? All right, I believe there was a motion. Do we have a second?
Mm-hmm. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Looks good. Well done, team. And I am almost out of battery, so hopefully you don't lose me. I'll try to make things brief so we can finish our business here. We have the election officials, notice of election, the announcement of a ballot error.
Yes.
I know this is something that we had, there was at least to talk to you about. We had acknowledged this, that it was, we had original scheduled for a different date, and things moved around a little bit. So Mr. Poe, do you want to go ahead and lead us through that?
Yes, ma'am. Basically what this comes down to is that we had already printed the absentee ballots for this election. We sent them out. People had submitted them. Those all have the April 14th date. By statute, let's see, what is it? It's, the ballots are all, within an election, are all required to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So having talked this over with with the State Board of Election Commissioners and with the county attorney, and just so you know, we're not the only ones who encounter this. Like during the previous state board meeting, they actually had a discussion on this as well for a May 12th election.
Mm-hmm.
We felt that the best mechanism for addressing this would be to essentially keep the ballots that we already had so as not to disenfranchise those folks who had already submitted their ballots and to basically declare the ballot error based on our inability to correct it based on those absentee ballots being in, as well as the election being rescheduled due to a pandemic.
That tracks with me. Any discussion with commissioners?
None for me.
And I just wanted to add one more thing. Like the purpose of this is basically just to place it in the record to say that, you know, even though the ballots might say April 14th, on June 9th. So, that goes back to Mr. You know, just keeping the record good for people who go to look back at it in a few years and try to figure out what happened.
Okay. Any additional discussion, commissioners? Okay. Do we need, are we making, I didn't see this, did I skip over it in the materials that you sent and the email? You haven't anything to sign, or is this just an announcement of the order?
This is just a public announcement, and it'll be noted in the minutes.
Okay. Okay, good. Then let's move on to election officials. Will that conclude our Jacksonville special election business?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and move on to other business.
Could I just say thank you very
much? Absolutely, Mr. Mayor. You cut out, though. Are you still there?
I would like to thank you for all of your hard work. It was interesting listening to you go through the process. You've done a great job, and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you so much. Those back at you. We're excited for the diligence and help and generosity with the city get this for all the our residents to be safe and our elections can be free and fair and accessible. And we're very thankful for your efforts as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Have a good evening.
You too. You. Do we have any other business at this time?
Just to get to the next meeting.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to set the next meeting. Okay. So besides deciding on setting the next meeting, anything else?
One thing I wanted to let you all know is that the Secretary of State's office called us and let us know that we're getting a DS-450 that's going to be purchased out of the COVID funds.
Okay, that's great. Just one.
It's a $60,000 machine. So
I know. I'm excited about that.
So it'll be nice to have. In addition to that, I just need to let you all know that we have received our voting equipment and are in the process of testing it right now.
Fantastic.
We received our last shipment, which was the electronic poll books, last Friday.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, good.
I have a public comment. So if we have time for that, that was sent to me via Facebook.
Can we do that at the very end, unless it's germane to what we're talking about right this second?
Oh no, I thought we were moving on.
Well,
whenever we're ready,
put a pin in that. We're gonna get with you. Let's set our next meeting, and then we'll turn it back to Commissioner Price to go ahead and pass on that comment that he's aware of. So our next meeting. When will we need to meet next? Let's see.
June 9th.
Well, for sure June 9th for the actual results. Do we want to just set that now and then at that meeting set any additional meetings we'll need after that?
Yes.
That's fine with me. Okay, so June 9th. It's a one issue election, so I we're coming from one location, so I'm going to assume we're not going to have a lot of lag time in collecting from multiple precincts.
We're actually going to have staff members there to collect everything and bring it in.
Okay.
It's my plan to have at least myself there for election night or for election day, and possibly one other staff member to assist with whatever the workers need.
Great. So what time do you think we would be good?
I think 8:30 would be safe.
Is that too late?
Sounds good.
Well, I mean, Jacksonville's still a solid 20 to 30 minute drive.
No, that's true. Okay. I'll factor in drive time. Okay, 8:30, that will work for me. Commissioners, that works for the rest of you?
That's good. Okay.
And we Sounds do good. Need to set one more meeting, at least one more meeting. Actually two more meetings. We need to set the provisional ballot meetings.
Okay. That's true. We need to do that actually before they come in. Okay. So provisional ballots. Let's get a calendar here. Okay. What's our time frame there for those?
For the first meeting to do the preliminary review, we would need to do that on the 11th or 12th. And the second meeting would typically be set on the 19th.
And that's going to give the UOCAVA days and.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm available for all those days, so whatever works for the other commissioners.
I believe I am. Just give me one moment. I'm going to pull up one more calendar to double check that I am not. Because of COVID, I was not traveling. I did some training today, so I don't think I'm going to be traveling next month. Okay, so the 19th is a Friday. I'm available that day for a second meeting. For the preliminary review, the 11th or 12th is going to be a Thursday or a Friday. Either one of those days would be fine with me.
The 11th is fine with me, 5 p.m.
And so that, and that's a Thursday. Now, historically, Thursdays are not always the easiest, but with COVID, that may have changed.
That's changed some things.
Okay.
Just a few things. that works for me as well.
I want to be sensitive to everyone's needs outside of the commission. Okay, so let's do the 11th. Let's do Thursday, unless it would be better to have that extra day to do it on the Friday, Mr. Poe. It looks like it's fine for the commissioners. Do you have a preference? We'll take your.
Well, I would just say that the Thursday is fine because given the turnout we're expecting in this election, any provisional ballots we receive, we should be able to turn around fairly quickly.
Okay, good. So I don't want to have problems for the staff, but let's do the 11th. If that's okay with the other commissioners, we'll do the preliminary review on the 11th. Excuse me.
I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Our county office is still going to be closed at that time?
That's the thing that we're running into just kind of across the board is it's very difficult to tell. What it's going to be that far in advance. I can just tell you that I don't get to make that call.
I mean, I guess my question is how will we have a hearing if the county office is closed?
Mr. Poe, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get us a backup. If the county office is closed, maybe the Jacksonville Community Center might be open to us. Excuse me. So Mr. Poe, you're going to find us a pardon me, I just swallowed air. I don't know what's wrong with me. Get us a rainy day option there. So if we can't use our building, if it's still closed down, get us by election night. Get us an option for the location of where that is going to be.
I could provide all those documents to you electronically.
Let's do that. And let's do that then.
Once again, given the type of turnout and volume that we expect, I don't feel like that would be a particular issue. We have a very fine copying machine that scans many different sizes of paper, so I could digitize those PDF them for you and get them to you.
Okay. Excellent.
Do you have a weird question? If someone has a mask on and they show their ID, do the poll workers know how to handle that?
That is something that we will be going over with them.
Okay.
Because, like I said, I'm going to be on site on election day and probably, various days in early vote, especially the first day of early voting. But I actually asked the state board that, and they said that basically, they just have to exercise their best judgment.
Okay. Thank you.
That's what it comes down to, and it's just, it's just one of those crazy things. One of the many adaptations we have to make to this new world that we're living in.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, so we've got 11th and 19th election night, the 9th, the 11th, and the 19th. Are those the dates we're looking at for the Jacksonville?
Yes.
Okay.
You didn't set a time for the 19th.
19th is 5 p.m.?
That's 5 p.m. Let's stick with our normal 5 p.m., 11th, 5 p.m., 19th, 5 p.m., and the 9th at 8:30.
Yes.
All right. Anything else? Like I said, I know we have lots of things to discuss just in general. We have, you know, the census is coming up. We have our new equipment. We got some of the new equipment. I know, I'm sure the other commissioners are aware of other counties that did not purchase equipment. The Secretary of State went ahead and just bought them equipment that they didn't have to have any kind of a match or any, you know, any of that kind of an issue. So we may want to, just if you're not aware of that, you may want to look into that. I'm sure that's some discussion as a commission we may want to have, but perhaps we can have some of these discussions on election night as we have time. There's just a lot of election news going around and going on right now. Just want to, if the other commissioners were not already aware, which I'm sure you are, we got a lot of stuff going on. But I'm not going to make this meeting any longer than necessary tonight. Those matters can wait to the next time we meet.
There's one more thing I wanted to interject. We've prepared a couple of plans for, you know, looking forward to the general election for providing safe in-person voting and, you know, sufficient materials to make that happen one of our tentative plans. And just so y'all know, this is just a draft plan that is a starting point for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also prepared a plan for scaling up absentee voting should that be necessary. And, you know, also a draft plan, just a starting point for discussion, nothing set in stone. It's just, you know, laying out some best practices and some ideas for things that we might want to be looking at down the road. And I'll go ahead and send those to you first thing in the morning.
Great.
And so I just wanted y'all to be looking for that.
Thank you.
We can, I'm sure, discuss that at our next meeting. They'll give us some time to
give you all plenty of time to digest it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. And I know, you know, other states have had elections, so that gives us an opportunity to kind of see what worked for them, what didn't work, and where we could make improvements to our existing systems.
I like it. Go team. Okay. Anything else for the good of the commission?
Yes, I've got my public comment, Madam Chair.
Right, our last little item of business for me is the public comment. Go for it with your comment, please.
I think this is actually more of a question for Mr. Kennedy, but with what you said, Mr. Poe, about the governor waiving the no excuse absentee ballot for this election. Has the clerk's office put that information out anywhere where the residents of Jacksonville would be able to take advantage of that? Mr. Kennedy?
We were noticed of that about 1 hour and 35 minutes ago.
Okay.
Yet to notice anybody on that, Commissioner.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, let us know whatever information you put out, and I'm sure the Election Commission would be happy to share that information.
We will post it on social media and share if y'all do this likewise.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for your efforts, Mr. Kennedy. We really appreciate you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, I just want to make one last quick comment. I want to thank both Jody and Betty for putting this together. They've been working very hard on trying to get together a system so that we're able to do business even in this time of, I mean, like I said, seriously, pandemic, who would have thought? So I just want to thank them for all the good work that they've done in helping to put together this meeting and getting the technology lined out so that we can make this happen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You guys are the A-team. Absolutely, all the way. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, anything else for the good of the commission before we adjourn tonight's meeting? Well, a meeting will be adjourned. Our next meeting will be June 9th, which will be election night for the Jacksonville special election. All right, everyone, stay safe. Wash your hands. This meeting is adjourned.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Be safe.